days were spent at Bakerloom High School in Muskogee. In 1958, he received an Associate Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry from Bluefield Junior College in Bluefield, Virginia. A Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry from the University of Richmond, Richmond, Virginia in 1960. Following his graduation from the Medical College of Virginia in 1964, he became a diplomat of the Virginia State Medical Boards and the National Medical Boards. In 1969, he completed his specialized training in ear, nose, and throat and facial plastic surgery and open practice in Newport News, Virginia. In 1970, he became a diplomat of the Boards of Ear, Nose, and Throat and Facial Plastic Surgery, a member of the local, state, and national medical organizations, and those of his specialty. He is a member of the Association of American Indian Physicians, as well as one of its founders and immediate past president. He has been selected for many honors. In 1964, he was selected by the J.C.'s of Montgomery, Alabama, to appear in the 1964 edition of Outstanding Young Men of America. In 1966, he was selected to appear in the edition of Outstanding Personalities of the South. He was selected in college into the Phi Theta Kappa Honorary Society. He was selected for the Buford Scholarship Award during his third and fourth years of medical school. He is presently practicing medicine in Hampton, Virginia, otolaryngology, facial plastic surgery, and allergy. He is married to Barbara Asbury Costello from Bluefield, West Virginia. They have four lovely daughters, Beth, Amy, Lisa, and Jewel. He is on the Board of Trustees at Bluefield College, Bluefield, Virginia, a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Newport News, Virginia. This time it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you a personal friend and friend of the Chickahominy Indians, Dr. Linwood Costello.
Indian festival. You know, the Bible states that God is spirit. It further states that God is love. So the spirit of love is the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible further describes the Holy Spirit as being omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowledgeable, omnipresent, present everywhere. No matter where we go, we can't get away from him. And eternal. It is no wonder that our ancestors called him the Great Spirit. The Apostle John further stated that if you have not love, you have not God, for God is love. I love each and every one of you here this afternoon with the love of God. The Bible also gives a formula in which we can approach our Great Spirit, and it is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Before my discussion, I would like to go over that formula with you. If my people who are called by my name, whose name? Let's take some coins and look at them. Here's a penny, it states, in God we trust. Here's a nickel, it states, in God we trust. And here's a quarter, it states, in God we trust. The currency of our land. Now let's take a look at the national anthem. One nation under God. And the churches of our land. Why, they were founded by the Son of our Great Spirit, the Almighty God. So if my people, who are called by my name, And he says if we'll do four things for him, he'll do something for us. The first is, we'll humble themselves. Humble. Humility. Not pride. You know, Revelation 4:11 states that we were made for God's pleasure. Not our own pleasure, where we can take pride in who we are, or boast about what we've done or what we have. But we were made for God's pleasure, and that for that we should come to him humbly, and to each other humbly. So if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and to pray, not with a formulated prayer where they can pray in the eyes of the people who will praise them as the scribes and Pharisees, but as the sinner who hung his head in shame for what he had done, and beat himself on the chest and said, Father, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and three, seek my face, to seek, to search out, to look around us, to look at not only the immorality that we see in our country today running rampant, as the moral majority is doing, and don't get me wrong, that's good, but also the injustices and the indifferences, for they all mar the image, the face of our Almighty God. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, the fourth thing is to turn from their wicked ways. To turn, that's an action verb. Anything that we believe in, we must take action on it, or we'll lose it and stop believing in it. And you know, that's what the Apostle James meant when he said that faith without works is dead. And the Apostle Paul further reiterated that faith worketh by love, the love of our great spirit. Just like this arm, if I put it in a cast and I fail to use it for a few months and I take it out, the muscle will be shriveled and decayed. But if in reverse I exercise that arm and exercise that muscle, it'll grow. By the same token, we must exercise our faith with love to one another. Now that we've done those four things, our great spirit states that he'll do something for us. Then will I hear from heaven. The first thing he'll do is hear. You know, you mothers, when you tell your child, now don't do that or you'll get hurt, and you go busily about your work, and suddenly your child comes up and they're tugging on your leg and crying, and you look down and you said, see, I told you not to do that. And they continue to cry, but you turn a dead ear. But our great spirit said if we do those four things, he will hear us from heaven. Heaven. Where's that? Did you know that that's all around us? The Bible states that there are three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds fly, where the clouds are. We have to shoot our rockets outside of the Earth's atmosphere to get outside of the first heaven to orbit around the Earth, because the first heaven lies in the Earth's atmosphere. Then the second heaven lies outside of that, encompassing the entire universe. Our solar system, our galaxies, our clusters, and our superclusters that make up the universe. That's our second heaven. Then outside of the second heaven lies the third heaven. And that's where the Apostle Paul states that he was caught up in. And you know, he stated that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the wonderful things that our great spirit has prepared for us there. And words cannot describe them, he said. And that's the heaven where God, our great spirit, has his throne. And he watches his creation in great detail. You know, his son stated that not even a sparrow can fall from the air without him knowing it. Even the hair on our head is numbered, and not a one can fall out without him knowing it. He watches his creation in great detail. Then will I hear from heaven. and to forgive them of their sins. To forgive. You know, I've stated many a time, as I reflect back on my life, oh, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. And I'm sure you've heard that. You've probably said it many a time. But when our great Spirit forgives us of our sins and injustices and indifferences and immoralities to Him, He remembers them no more. To forgive is to forget. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive them of their sins and heal their land. Heal is the third thing that He'll do. You know, when you cut your hand and you go to the emergency room, and after waiting there a few hours, as you usually have to do, you finally get it sutured up and you leave, it still hasn't healed. You go back in 10 to 14 days and you get your sutures out, it still hasn't healed. You touch it, it's sore, it's red. 6 months later, there are certain ways you can bend it or press on it, and it's still painful. After a year or more, it finally heals. So healing comes slowly after we do our correction, take our action in those four areas that I previously mentioned. Heal their land, their country. Did you know that this country is called the melting pot of the nations? We have representatives in this country that are inhabiting and that are members of this nation from every other nation on earth. So this country is truly the melting pot of the nations. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. So if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive them of their sins and heal their land, their spirits, their minds, their bodies, their families, their societies, and their nation. Let us pray before we start today's topic. Our Father in heaven, our great Spirit, we do come to you in total humility, without pride, in earnestness, seeking your face and turning, Lord, from our wicked ways. And we thank you for this beautiful day. And we do pray, Father, that what you have put on my heart to give this afternoon in this discussion and topic to follow, that you have prepared the hearts of my fellow warriors and my fellow countrymen to receive it in love. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The topic on which I have chosen to speak to you this afternoon is a new beginning for the American red man. The only way to look at the past is with the concept to help us grow towards the future. There have been many, many injustices done to the American red man of this country, from the destruction and annihilation of his families as the settlers moved inland and settled his land, to the misconceptions and abuse and the splitting of families and whole tribes of the East and marching them westward in what is known to us today as the Trail of Tears. And when the generals arrived at the barren land of Oklahoma and overlooked that barren land, they turned to one another and shook their heads and stated, "That's only good enough for coyotes, rattlesnakes, and Indians." Then to the destruction of their culture and their entire concept of living with their great spirit, their Mother Earth, whom their great spirit had made, and their fellow man. And you know, one of the hardest concepts for them to grasp with anyone that anyone would have the audacity to fence in Mother Earth, whom our great spirit had given to all mankind. Then to the bad attitudes of lust and greed, and the taking advantage of a people ignorant of the new system, a people depressed financially, a people depressed spiritually, and held that way in bondage. It is unfortunate that when the red man looks at his past and realizes the devastating blow dealt to his ancestors in their own homeland, he tends to dwell on it. To compound this and to make it more vivid in his mind has been the pressures of the ongoing injustice and prejudices of his surrounding community, of his state, and of his nation. Unfortunately, these problems still exist today, no matter how much we try to bridge the gap and to pick ourselves up to see what happened. Let us take a look at the past briefly to see where we've been, the present to see where we are, and the future to see where we're heading. When we look at the history of the American red man, we find that we cannot separate it from the history of this country. Neither can this country separate its history from the history of the American red man. That history, that true color of the American history, requires that integral part that was destined for the American red man to play. Let's take a look at the history of this country at its first settlement by the Europeans. And when we do, we realize that the first motivating factor for the settlement of this country was by the servants of God in Europe, who desired to come to this country to live amongst the Indian people and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That burden was put on their hearts by our great spirit, who desired that they come and bring the gospel of his son to us whose hearts he had prepared to receive it. Unfortunately, they had to rely on the investing companies of that day, whose sole motive was lust and greed to finance their expedition. And one of those investing companies of that day was called the Virginia Company. It is needless to say that the motives of lust and greed interrupted every attempt by the motives of those humble servants of God to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the American Indian. When the settlers advanced rapidly inland and annihilated the red man's families and confiscated his land, uprisings and confrontations occurred. The end result was hate instead of love by both sides, and a humiliation and a struggle for survival by the American redmen. All of this occurred instead of living in love, sharing one another's burdens, enjoying one another in the joy of our great spirit, and living in peace and harmony, sharing with one another, with the ultimate purpose to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the American Indian, as our great spirit had intended. Though a major emphasis of this great country and of its churches has been to rehabilitate and to spread the gospel around the world, very little effort has been put on the rehabilitation and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the American red man. After over 300 years of dishonor to the American red man, that challenge that burdened the hearts of those first servants of God in Europe still remains unfulfilled in this country as a whole. It is time for the American red man to stop being held in bondage in his own country. It is time for the American red man to pick himself up spiritually, mentally, and physically. And he must do so in that respective order. And this afternoon, I shall go over with you a few of those principles that are needed for us to move forward. First, we must look at the past to see where we've been. Then we must look at the present to see where we are. Then we must look at the means by which we arrive from the past to the present. And thirdly, we must draw a line from the past to the present, then project it on into the future to see where we're heading. Then we must ask ourselves, is that where we want to head? If not, we must change directions. If so, then we must ask ourselves, are we heading there for a sustaining and lasting result? If not, we must look at our foundation in which we're building. Because we must build the spiritual first. You know, it is from the spiritual world that we get our ideas. Job 8:32 states that God giveth our spirits understanding. And from this understanding we get our ideas. From those ideas we formulate our vision. From that vision we set our goals. And then, from those goals, we utilize our mental capacity to work out a means of getting there and achieving those goals. The second thing that comes from the spiritual world is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom sets our standard and determines how wisely we choose the mechanism to achieve those goals so that we can obtain a sustaining and lasting result. With this basis in mind, let us look at some of the universal principles that we must utilize in order to achieve success. The first principle is unity. Unity is for strength. The best example that I can think of to give you as an illustration for unity is the one that my grandfather gave me. Once there was an old gentleman who was about to die, and he had 7 sons, and he wanted to leave those sons a word of wisdom that they could carry with them throughout life. And so he took 7 sticks, and he tied them together in a bundle, and he called his sons to the bedside, and then he said, "Son," to his oldest son, "I want you to break this bundle of sticks." The first son tried and tried until he was exhausted and he could not break them. He gave them to his second son, and then his next son, until he got to his youngest son, and none of the sons could break that bundle of sticks. Then he untied the bundle, and he gave each one of his 7 sons one of those 7 sticks. And he said, "Now, sons, I want you to break those sticks." And they snapped them with ease. And he said, "See, that's the way it is with you when you go out into the world. If you stick together, you're hard to break. But if you separate, you'll be snapped like a straw." That's a universal principle. That principle is built into the universe itself, and it's built into us. When our great spirit made us from the earth, he joined us with the spiritual world, with our spirits from the breath of life. He formed that unity to give us the power to act. We see that in a football team. They first have to come together as a team to have strength before they can be victorious. A nation has to come together in unity to have strength to be victorious. A military, a business have to have unity to be strong. Any people, whether they're not Christians or non-Christians, must have unity to be strong. And there is no exception for the Tsin Akamek, the Powhatan people. And the way to form this unity can be a temporary way or it can be a lasting way. And this is what we must decide when we form a unity. Which way do we want to form it? We see nations rise and fall because it's a temporary unity. We see football teams rise and fall businesses rise and fall because it's a temporary unity. But for that lasting unity, we must first connect up to our great spirit, that spirit of love. Because the bond that's lasting is not a selfish bond, but it's the bond of our great spirit when it flows through us, through that connection to one another. That's a lasting bond. It will hold forever. And that bond can form the unity for which we can then bond together for a lasting bond of unity. The second principle is the chain of command. Anybody that forms must have a chain of command to have order. Whether it's a Christian nation or a non-Christian nation, there must be a chain of command. If we look at a recreational team, we see a coach, we see the captain, and so on, each one performing their particular part to be successful. If we look at a business, we see the same with a president, a vice president, a secretary. If we look at all of our chain of commands on up to our military and on up to our nation, we see the same. We must have order and not chaos for that body to function in unity. And the same is true with us, per se. Our spirits must set the standard for our mind. Our mind must work out the problem and then put our bodies into action in that chain of command to proceed to perform that action. This is a principle that's built in. It's a principle that all mankind must use, and there is no exception for the Tsin Akamek, the Powhatan people. And we must do it and perform those duties in love, fulfill them for our best order. The third principle that I wish to present is the principle of coordination for purposeful movement. That principle is likewise important. To move forward with force. We find that also built in to our own system. We have a little area in our brain, in the back part, called the cerebellum. And it's about that size. And that little area coordinates all the movements of our body. In other words, if that cerebellum didn't coordinate my right leg with my left leg and I tried to walk, I'd fall flat on my face. Not have to do my own nasal repair. But that principle is built in us, and if we form a larger body, a team, that principle must be utilized. Every man must perform his part. If we form a larger body as the military, everyone must do its part for a successful military. For example, the beaches of Normandy. If those paratroopers, no matter how fewer platoon that was, were dropped inland, if they did not perform their duties, it would be hard for the rest of the body coming through to perform their duties. So everyone, every member of that body must perform their particular duties, and they must perform them well for that body to operate at its smoothest. And this is true for a nation. This is true for Christians as well as non-Christians to be successful. These are principles for success. And they apply to all people. And there is no exception for the Tsin Akamek, the Powhatan people. If we are to use this principle, we can remember one thing. That our great spirit gave us something that is unique for mankind. The thought process, language. We can communicate with each other to coordinate those principles for their best use and for the smoothest function of the body that we pull together. There's one more principle before concluding that I'd like to go over with you. I've mentioned that principle a little before. And that principle is exercise for development and the lack of exercise for decay. Another way to put it is the lack of use for decay. That principle is important. Just as we use it for our muscles of our body, just as we must develop our spiritual exercise and develop our spiritual system, part of our body, just as we exercise and develop our mental part of our body and we exercise and develop our physical part of our body, if we are to make a larger body successful, we must likewise exercise and develop those principles that I have just mentioned, the first three: unity, the chain of command, and coordination for purpose of movement. If we don't use them, if we don't act on them and exercise them to develop them, as a basketball player runs through his shots until he gets his reflex in perfect coordination, if we don't exercise those principles that way, we cannot develop them. We must exercise them, or they will decay and soon be forgotten. Just as I mentioned, and the Bible mentioned, faith without works is dead. That's your analogy. I pray that each one of you here have been receptive to what the Great Spirit has put on my heart to give you in love. And I do love each and every one of you here this afternoon, and I pray that you'll put those principles into action. Into action, not in a selfish way, but in the way that our Great Spirit, the Spirit of love, would have. May our Great Spirit bless you, be with you, and be in you. God bless you.
We would like to present an honor plaque to an outstanding citizen, someone who I understand has contributed much to the Indian education program and also has contributed very much to the program here today. So before I call him back, I'd like to read the inscription on the plaque. It says, "In appreciation and recognition, commendable service and noteworthy achievement in the community, this honor plaque is presented to outstanding citizen Dr. Linwood Costello by Woodman of the World Life Insurance Society, 1981. Dr. Costello."
Special guest from near London, England. She's going to bring greetings to you from England, Mrs. Williams.
I bring greetings to you from England.
have been called upon. I've got one or two thoughts on my mind. I'm rejoicing because there's a representative of London, England, where I spent so much of my service years, where I met my late wife. There she is. I'm also happy for Dr. Costello because I share with him the honor that he just received. Last year, I received that plaque. Each of the speakers this afternoon have referred to, invoked, and spoken of the Great Spirit, the grace of God. And I am glad that they did. We are going in a few minutes to pay further respect to our Lord. And we're going to do so in honor, in memory, and tribute. The chief of this tribe is going to perform for you the Lord's Prayer in Indian Sign Language, as it is sung by Mrs. Redwing Adkins. And I would like to correlate what has been said here this afternoon with reference to the Great Spirit and the blessings that we have, the blessings of this beautiful afternoon, the blessings of this hallowed ground where the Chickahominy Indians come back to their own land and hold their own festival. Thank God for that. And thank God for the many, many blessings that these people and all people, as your supervisor has spoken, all the good people here in Charles City County. When the chief has concluded performing the Lord's Prayer, it would not be occasion this time to applaud, but in reverence to the Lord's Prayer and in memory of his dear wife who sat upon this platform with us so many times and has recently gone on to meet her great white father, and in memory of one of our dear people here in this community, Brother O.P. Bradby, who has gone to meet his great white father. I would like each of you, when he has finished his performance, to stand for a moment of silence in tribute and thankfulness to the good Lord and to those dear people for whom we would like this remembrance. As soon as I have returned to the musical instrument, Red Wing has come forth, the chief will perform the Lord's Prayer in Indian Sign Language. Let all of us be reverent to that.
There's two more plaques to be presented before we ask our dance group to come forward, and I'm asking Mr. Jerry Robby to come forward.
You may be seated. Thank you, Chief. Back in June of this year, we had an awards banquet. In addition to us not being able to present the honor plaque to Dr. Costello at that time, we saved it for this special occasion so he could be with us. But through the United States Postal Service or someone, the plaques did not get here in June anyway. So we're going to invite these people up. Now, let me explain to you what these plaques are for. These are people that are members of the Woodmen of the World, the Grove here, 6091, which now is going to be called the Lodge, and also Camp 252, or Lodge 252. And these two people were the outstanding members within the Woodmen of the World. The honor plaque we just gave Dr. Costello could go to anyone in the community as far as an outstanding citizen. But these people are really special to us, too, because they work so hard in the camp. They are lay members. So at this time, I'm going to ask Sovereign Craig Stewart and his wife, Ann. He is a Mr. Woodman for 1981. And Mrs. Theodora Atkins and her husband, Mr. Lou Atkins, to come forward to receive their plaques and gifts. They will each be making about a 30-minute speech at the conclusion of the presentation.
Appreciation to the platform guests for their participation in this ceremony. I also want to express my appreciation to you, the audience,